I love in that song, Don't Ever Stop, that second one that we did, they kept on referring to the way, and sometimes we forget that the way was how Christianity was initially known. If you look at scripture, Paul refers to it as following the way, because they had Judaism, they had what it meant to be Jewish and to live in the Hebrew nation, and they were calling them out of that to live by the Pharisees' rules and to move up and into living by the way that Christ had taught. And so it wasn't, and it's very specific that they use the way, because it wasn't about following a set of rules. It was about living a lifestyle that would be glorifying to God, that would raise them up and show the world the proper way to walk. And so I love it that they use that to be in the way or to follow the way, because it goes right back to the original roots of Scripture. Now, we've been in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be in 3 verses 5 through 23 if you want to start flipping there, 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 23. But just to recap a little bit, because I know we're in this first part, and Paul's kind of laying it thick on the Corinthian church. He's kind of telling them, like, listen, everything that's going on there is actually not helping anybody's cause, not your own, not the way's cause. You're not showing Christ. You're not showing the love, because there's division, there's strife, there's envy amongst all of you. But he's beginning to start to explain to them a little bit of why that is the way it is. And he's not only just saying that the divisions are bad, but maybe we need to look a little bit deeper inside of ourselves as a church, as leadership, as what it means to come together in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you could, please turn to 3, starting in verse 5. Stand with me as we read through it. If you need to sit down, it's a little bit long. We're going to be going till the end of the chapter. If you need to sit down, please feel free to do so. But Paul begins, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. And therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's. And Christ is God's." Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we ask that you open our hearts to hear this message. You renew our minds with it, that we may raise up to build upon the foundation of your Son, Jesus Christ, to answer that call and to raise up, to ensure that each brick is well crafted and well placed and secured to the next one. Lord God, let us build your church strong, not by our will, but by your will, through the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. Lord, we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Please be seated. Today's lesson, Paul is giving a really straightforward direction to the leaders of the church, to what they are called to do inside Christ, what it means to be a teacher or a leader for Christ's sake. He begins with the who then is Paul, who is Apollos? What he's saying is it doesn't matter who the man that stands before you is, for none of it is eternal. Human will come and go, but God is eternal, and so therefore it doesn't matter who Paul is or who Apollos is, because they are nothing but ministers, servants some of you may have. In fact, the Greek word for it is diakonos, which means to serve another. We see it another place that we like to use a whole lot when people start speaking up about Jesus Christ and reminding us what our role as Christians are. They pull it from Mark 10, verse 45, where they say, you know, Jesus came to serve, not be served, right? We hear this all the time. Well, it's the same word. We love that phrase because it points to us of a servant leader, a leader who really understands that through how they do things, their followers will raise up and become stronger. We see that in leadership all the time now, right? We call that transformational leadership nowadays is the big fancy word that they've assigned to it, to the point where we as leaders are called to raise up those below us to be better than ourselves so that they're stronger leaders. So at some point they can take on and go on and run with the torch further than we could ourselves. In fact, a strong leader will sit there and say that's their goal, is to hope to raise up the next generation of leaders to be stronger than themselves. That's exactly what Jesus did. Now, we can't be stronger than him because he's God, but he led in a way that propelled us in a way to understand we could become better, we could become stronger, that we could take the torch and run with it and continue to go. Diakonos, the understanding to serve another, in service of another, not in a lordship or a salvation way, but to just simply serve others for the betterment of the other. And the funny part is in that moment when you set yourself aside and you're not worried about serving yourself inside the moment, and you serve another and they become stronger, guess what happens to you? You become stronger. And guess what? Both of your lives are now better. Why? Because you're moving forward in a good, positive direction instead of being trapped. And so he's telling them, who cares about who Paul is or who Apollos is? It has nothing to do with it. It all matters about who God is in this. He goes on, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and you are God's building. He says that it mattered nothing who planted or who watered, but what God increases to. This is that beautiful understanding that no matter who teaches you, it is God who's teaching you. It is God who's brought that wisdom to light. It's not human wisdom that builds us up. It's God's wisdom that builds us up. And Paul wants them all to understand that. Now he says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is using that as the example that the only thing I've laid is Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing you can build on that'll create and strengthen the church that he's talking to, the group of believers, the followers of the way. What he's telling them is the same thing that he says in 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. I want you to underline a couple words in there. I want you to underline other. Where it says another or other, depending on which one you have in translation, where another builds on, I want you to underline that. And take heed is the other place I want you to underline, highlight, however you mark stuff in your scripture. What Paul is saying is I've done my work. It is now your responsibility to continue to build upon it. Apollos has come along and he's building up. He's no better or any worse than I am. He is simply another who's come along to do the work of God, to build you stronger, to build upon the foundation that I laid, which was given to me by God himself through Jesus Christ. I like to point these things out because all too often we become passive in our faith. We forget that we're supposed to be out and doing things. We're supposed to be busy building up the church around us. Each and every one of us who accepts Jesus Christ into our life has to answer that call. And Paul is saying it's perfectly fine. In fact, that's exactly how it's supposed to be. You don't rely on one person. What he's doing is he's starting to design a protection from cults being brought up. See, a cult is a group that follows a single leader to the fault of that leader. Whatever the leader says, that is what goes. And Paul understood that if we start putting our trust in the human that's teaching us, we are opening ourselves up to being nothing more than just cults throughout the countryside. What he's saying is that you have to look past the cult leader or past the leader and look at who God is. And hold yourself accountable to what God says and hold the people who teach you to the accountability of what God says. To build on the foundation of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. To not fall away and be led astray by people who have good worldly wisdom or who are really great speakers and motivationally, can kind of shift how you feel. No, he says to focus on God. And if that teacher doesn't do so, then you need to ask yourself, is this person truly worthy? See, what Paul is saying is that you need to make sure that you're not falling into a cult. If you're following one person and whatever that one person says and you're not following what God says, you're moving away from what it means to be a believer. You're building off of the foundation. A couple weeks ago, Mike preached and he gave an entire example of what it means to have a strong foundation of Jesus Christ underneath you, that the wise man returns to God as his foundation. Time and time again, whenever there's a crack in the wall, he returns to the foundation to make sure that the foundation is solid and sound. Because if you fix the wall or the crack in the wall without fixing the foundation, it does absolutely nothing because that crack will return. What Paul is saying is that for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. What he's saying is, I've already come and taught you Jesus Christ. If you build on anything but that, you are not building upon the foundation. For that is the only foundation that is worthy to be built upon. And then he gives a strong call out to the leadership. The leadership of the church has a higher responsibility. If you seek leadership in the church, you should do so with a very humble heart. He says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. He explained that now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, he uses a variety of materials to kind of say that people will build upon the foundation of Christ with good, solid building materials. And then some will build upon weak stuff. Things that will not survive the fire. So as leaders of the church, which we could argue what that actually means. We could sit there and say, well, it's those who have been chosen. But honestly, God calls us each to lead, to disciple others. So we're all technically leaders within the church. But for those of us who build upon the foundation, those of us who disciple another person, we need to be careful how we do so, that we use the right ways to do so, that we use scripture, that we strengthen people's hearts through God and not through human and worldly ways. Because each one of our works will be tested by the fire. In there it says, the day is the judgment day. I think sometimes Christians, and I've said this before, sometimes Christians forget that we will stand before the throne for judgment. Each and every person, each and every creation will stand before the throne at judgment. It's only through Christ, our belief and our faith in Jesus Christ, that we have a counselor who can safeguard us from what our debt is. Has empowered upon our lives. See, we tend to sin. It just happens to be human nature. Paul knew that. In fact, we've talked about that last week, about how he struggled, the duality of knowing what was right and yet doing what was wrong, right? We tend to be sinful in how we go about life. And while we may strive to do good things, we still make mistakes occasionally. And all that will be on our record, per se, when we come before the judgment. And what he's saying is that record, if it's not built on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ, we'll be burned away. And not in a pleasant way of being dissipated, but that it'll burn away. He goes on, if anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. This is a tough one for us to hear. If you don't build foundations on Jesus Christ, if you don't disciple on Jesus Christ and build strong foundations for other people, they won't survive the fire. There's one foundation that we all build on, that's Jesus Christ. And whatever we build upon it, if it isn't worthy, if it isn't strong, if it isn't found to be righteous in the end by Christ, it'll be burned away. I want you to stop and think about that. That means if you're discipling someone, but you're not discipling through Scripture, you're not discipling, if you're coaching someone through a difficult time in life, but it's not based on Scripture, what are you setting that person up for? Yes, we each, everybody who leads through discipling or leads through the church has a responsibility to lead responsibly, to build upon the foundation that Paul laid, that the apostles themselves laid, that Christ himself laid. And to do so in any other way endangers those who we lead. This is a tough message, I know it is, because it means that we're responsible for those we disciple. We have a responsibility to care for them in a way to build them stronger, to build the foundation, or to build upon the foundation in a way that is honorable to God. Because if we don't, they may not survive the fire. And while our belief in Christ may save us, we will still go through that fire, because we'll watch all those people that we cared for and loved, but because we weren't responsible with how we raised them up, they'll burn away. Because they may not know who Christ is. They may not know the true God. Why do I say this? Because we see it in the world around us all the time. We see people, in fact, how many people have ever said this? No hands, please, no hands. Man, I'm not sure that's my God that he's talking about. The second we say, I'm not sure that's my God, then we have to understand that we just created my God instead of the God that exists. And while some people may teach falsities, that's 100% accurate in statement. The question is what God is being declared? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Who are we teaching others about? Are we teaching them about how God, or the God who's declared himself through Scripture? Or are we teaching them about the human God who humans like to sit there and say is God? The God who will never punish us, the God who will never judge us as being wrong just because we do those things that make us feel good. The God who just accepts that we walk outside of his will. Or do we teach about a God who brought punishment, brought judgment upon those who walk outside of his will? Do we teach about a God who loved a creation so much that he went to a cross and died for it? What God do we teach? That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying if you teach of the right God, then what you build on that foundation will survive. It'll be able to make it through the fire. And at the end of it, you'll see and receive a reward. This isn't the reward of salvation. That comes through faith in Jesus Christ. But there does seem to be within Scripture, and especially within Paul's writings, an understanding that those who faithfully serve Christ throughout their life, who build upon the foundation, who make it strong and continue to make it stronger as they go, will receive a reward that those who do not will not receive. This isn't a reward of salvation. I don't want anybody to go back and sit there and say, well, Pastor Scott, does that mean we're earning our salvation by doing works? Heck no. Your salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. For he is the only one righteous enough to sit there and declare you okay before the God, or before God in the kingdom. It's the only way that salvation happens. But what I'm saying here is that Paul and all the other founding fathers and even mothers of our church, as they came up and through, and if you read ancient theologies, they all understood that there was a call to do more than just believe, but a call to answer the call that Christ gave us to make disciples, to raise up the church, to grow the body. He's saying that this is what a good servant, diakonos, is. Someone who can raise up other disciples who build their foundation on Jesus Christ. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. What he's saying there is if you're a believer of Christ and you've been built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, you are the temple that the Holy Spirit dwells within. He says that in the verses right before it. You know, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If the foundation that you stand upon is Jesus Christ, then you hold the Holy Spirit inside of you. And God will work towards you good things. I didn't say he'll do good things for you. He'll work good things towards you. We will not be destroyed by the flames. We'll be able to survive the fires as they come. Because God will be the protector of it. God honors his temple. He always has, as long as those who were inside of it honored him. Verse 18, he says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in his age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. What Paul's saying there is this, if you think you're really smart, subject yourself to the wisdom of God and see if you stand up to it. It's a self-check. We're told that all the time, right? Do a self-check on yourself. Evaluate what's going on. Many of us don't like to do it. In fact, how many people like evaluation periods at work? I'm not seeing a lot of hands. Right? We all get a little bit fearful when the boss calls us in or we're at school and the report cards start coming. We don't like being evaluated. But the fact is we're called as Christians to evaluate our life all the time, to hold it up to a matrix and sit there and say, are we living as we're called to live? What he's saying here is hold your wisdom against God's wisdom and see if it matches up. If not, let yourself be made a fool and sit there and say, obviously, I don't know what I'm talking about because God says this and I must be wrong. And then realign your wisdom with God's wisdom so that you can be made wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise and that they are futile. Best way I can think of that is if you run a business or if you manage people and you do so in a worldly way where it's all about yourself, what makes you happy? Because really that's the world's way. Whatever makes you happy, whatever makes the flesh happy. What happens down the line? Yes, you may be happy for a moment, but a little bit later, what happens? People don't like you. The ways that maybe you cheated or that you connived to get to where you're at suddenly made light start to affect your career. But see, if we live the way that God tells us to live, to care for another, to serve the others around us, to help build them up, to edify them, to make them greater than they were the day before when we met them. See, if we live that lifestyle, all that's going to be heaped back onto us is love and kindness. Because why? Because those people who we help build up and help make successful and help drive their lives to be a little bit better will do the same in return, hopefully. See, when we live by God's wisdom, we don't get caught in futility. We don't get caught as being unwise. We don't live in a futile way. We live in a productive way. We live in a way that strengthens us and raises us, gives us deeper hearts, better relationships. And then 21, he begins his ending of this area. He says, therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life, death, things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. What he's doing is he's calling us to be holy. He's calling us to a living, calling us to live a holy life. To not fade away and be fleshly, but to rise up out of the brokenness, out of the darkness that the world is around us, and to live towards Christ, to live to be God's, to live in a holy manner. Not that we are holy. That's kind of the release from the responsibility or the pressure we'd feel to live holy lives or to be holy. No, this is releasing us to live a holy life, to live towards what God calls us to live towards, to be living in the purpose that he has created us to live with it. And while that doesn't mean that we need to be holy, it means that we need to work towards holiness, to live in a way that moves us that direction versus the other direction down towards brokenness. What Paul's doing is he's calling us to be Christ. That's what he's been talking about for the last chapter and a half as he ends chapter 3, is to forget who I am or forget who Apollos is or Cephas or any of the others who have come and taught on you and focus on the message they are giving, and that is of Jesus Christ. Because they are each servants of the Master. They are each followers of Christ. So stop worrying about what that person says or that person says and focus on what Christ says through that person. And if you don't hear Christ through that person, then maybe you don't listen to that person. If you don't see their life to equal or add up to this walking of holiness, then maybe you don't follow their path. Because you aren't of this world. You are of Christ. And Christ is of God. You are made to be something so much more. Let yourself follow that path. So what we need to do is we need to take stock of our lives, and we need to ask ourselves, are we pursuing living a holy life, or are we pursuing living in a worldly life? Because we are Christ, we should be pursuing the first. We should be living in a manner that directs us to be living as God has called us to live through Jesus Christ. That's why Christ came, so that he could set an example, because obviously the written law that he had given Moses wasn't doing the trick. The entire nation of Israel that was bound to it was not living within its confines. They were, you know, moving away from it. They were directed into a worldly life and trying to build themselves up in pride instead of following what God had called them to do. So he sends his son, Jesus Christ, flesh and divinity walking together on earth to set the example for us so that we could see what it meant to live a life, walk a life that was holy and glorifying to God, always accepting God's will to the point of the cross. I saw an interesting little thing on Facebook the other day. I don't know who quoted it or where the quote came from. I know who quoted it. It was a fellow pastor, but he said, if you follow Christ long enough, it'll eventually lead you to a cross. Eventually, you will find yourself where you have to place yourself up to be sacrificed for the will of God over what the world tells you is right or wrong. And we need to be able and be prepared to do so, because Paul says that that's who we are. We're of Christ. See, we're called to share his light in this dark world, not to allow our life to be what extinguishes that light in this world. So the question I ask for you guys, each and every one of you, as you stand here or sit here at this particular moment, is which one are you following? Do you put the fleshly, carnal life ahead of you that Paul warns us about earlier in the chapter? Do you let that be what drives you? Do you let that be what sets your wisdom? Do you let that be what you find hope and joy in? Or do you focus on Christ? Do you look past the human world? Do you look past the flesh and do you focus on Jesus Christ and allow him to raise you up and direct you in a good and holy direction, one that glorifies God, one that sets you in a place where you live a life that others see as being good and holy? Now, we're not perfect, and we'll never be completely holy. I don't want anyone to ever feel like that's the goal, because it's not. The goal is to focus on Christ and to share his love, his light with the dark world around us. That's why he gives us the purpose of being his ambassadors and not being himself, because he knows we can't do what he did, but he knows we can bring the message of what he did to others. He knows that we can share the love he shared with us with others. He knows that we can be of Christ. It's a very important word, of Christ, not Christ. When we look at it that way, life should be a lot easier. When I understand that it's not my role to be Christ, but to be of Christ, to be an ambassador, sharing his love, sharing his light, sharing his truth, being his arms, his feet. Life gets a lot easier that way. It gets so much easier that way. Why? Because it's not about me anymore. It's about what God wants me to do here on earth. I now have purpose. I now have mission. I now have a direction I can cast out on. I don't have to try to find my way, but I can now follow the path that has been set by God himself. What sounds easier to you, living a life where the path you have to cut through the jungle yourself, or following the path that God has opened up for you before? I don't know. I think the second one sounds much easier to follow than the first. In fact, I know it. I've tried to do both. It's not a good thing. Cutting new territory, walking through dense jungle is never easy. If you've ever gone hunting and you've hit a briar patch, you know that. In fact, what do most of us do? Wow, look at the briar patch. We're going to walk around it. Well, unfortunately, we can't walk around life. Life is there in front of us. But we can look for the path that God has set before us and follow that path. We can be of Christ and show ourselves that way. As Paul ended this section, as he moved from challenging them to move from carnal to spiritual living, as he challenged their leaders to make sure that they were teaching and building upon the foundation of Christ and nothing else but the foundation of Christ, it allows us to have a deeper understanding of what God really wants for us. He wants us to walk a life that simply follows him. To be of Christ and to be God's, instead of trying to be of all these other things that are influential in our lives. Instead of trying to be of Paul, of Apollos, of Scott. Because when we follow another human, we never know what path they're on. We're never quite sure where they're leading us or how sharp their machete is. Or when they'll grow weak and tired and are no longer able to cut that path. But when we follow Christ, we know that he has the strength to endure even death. In fact, his strength rose him from the dead. It's an eternal strength that never ends. And he moves with a truth, with a sword, per se, that is never dulling because it is eternal also. And he will lead and clear a path for us as we go through. And while, yes, we may get nicks, and we may find ourselves in difficult times, we can be assured that as long as we stay on the path that he is cutting before us, we will never die. For we will have spiritual life because the Holy Spirit will dwell inside of us because we will be known as Christ's followers. We will be following the way as we sung about in the second song. This is the beauty, this is the hope, this is the joy of being a follower of Christ. That we have a strength that is bubbled up from inside of us. I love how he says that. Let no one deceive himself. See, when we follow our own will, when we look for our own wisdom in something, we're deceiving ourselves. What we're saying is that we're smarter than God, we're greater than he is, that we know better than what God knows in the situation. That because we understand things more clearly, it'll turn out for the better for us. But I want you to take something where you've chosen your will to follow out instead of following what Scripture says about something and ask me, or ask yourselves this. Has it turned out better? How's it working out for you? Do you feel stronger or do you feel weaker? Paul's challenge was a difficult challenge to the church of Corinth because it made them self-evaluate themselves. It made them look at themselves and ask them, what is going on in your lives that's leading to the brokenness amongst you? For it's not Christ that's leading to the brokenness, it's how you're not following Christ that leads to the brokenness. So today, ask yourselves that question. If there's brokenness in your life, ask, what is the brokenness in my life and what am I doing that leads me down that path? And what does God's wisdom have to say that can help remove that brokenness from my life? Because if we're going to declare that we're not of Paul or of Apollos or Cephas, or the world or any of these other things, but that they are ours because we are Christ and Christ is God's, then we need to make sure that we are following Jesus Christ, that our foundation is firmly fixed underneath us, and that we build only upon Christ. For anything else is dangerous, and it will eventually crack, crumble, and fall apart on us. And we may not even be able to find our way back to where the foundation was. So Paul's message needs to be taken to heart, and we need to act upon it. There's no doubt in my mind that Paul, being the great missionary, and he accepts that. He accepts to himself that it's not my job to sit there and build upon the foundation. My job was to lay the foundation. That's why he's moving every so often. And it seems like Paul had a habit of about 2 years in a location, then he would move. Year in a location, then he would move. He wouldn't spend long periods of time. He would lay the foundation, who Jesus Christ was, that people may know who Jesus Christ was. And then he moves on and lets others come upon and teach and build upon that foundation. But each and every one of them is called to do something in that process. See, when we're following Christ, we're doing something. When we're sitting idle, what's that great saying? Say that a little bit louder.
Idle hands are the work of the devil.
Exactly. Idle hands are the work of the devil. When we are active and we're moving forward in Christ, when we're doing what he's calling us to do, then we know we're of Christ, because Christ didn't sit in any one place. None of his apostles sat in one place. They were always going forward. They were always doing something. They were always building upon that foundation. But if that foundation isn't set before you and you're just idle all the time, then my question is what's the foundation underneath you? We're called to be active. We're called to share our faith. We're called to make disciples. We're called to do all these things because God understood that when we are active and we're pursuing and we're following Jesus Christ and we're doing those things, we are strong in Christ. But when we become idle, we become human again, and we start wanting to deal with what the flesh wants versus what God wants. So please, please, as you leave today, take Paul's warnings, take Paul's challenges seriously for the next week, for next year. And let it shape your heart. Let it raise you up to be what God wants you to be, that you may understand that purpose. As you go through this week, ask yourselves, what is the brokenness in my life? And what am I doing counter to what God says as being wise? And how is that affecting my life? Whatever that may be, don't be afraid of it. Don't let it bind you up and put you in a cage, gain strength over it, and let God start dealing with it. Be of Christ, and know that you are God's child. Amen.